2015, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus reigns. Long live Jesus Christ. You know, the weather's been so awesome, isn't it? I really love this time of year. Who else loves this time of year? Yeah, it's just so cool. Just such a great time for recreating and regenerating ourselves, ready for the new year with all its challenges and rewards. Who's looking forward to 2015? Yeah, it's going to be an awesome year because we've got an awesome God. I really love the sense of newness. You know, starting the year fresh with renewed energy. I love what that song you were just singing, Linda, about the new day, the new dawn. That's beautiful. You know, the old has gone and the new has come, as the Apostle Paul would say. You know, it's so important that we take time to replenish, especially if we've had a time of trial or we're going through some hard times or intense times that really drain us. And, you know, around Christmas time, it can be very intense. And so it's good to actually hit a season where it's not so intense and to take time to replenish what has been taken and what is we've given out. You know, our God is so good. You know that He invented this whole idea of recreation. And if you ever wondered what recreation is defined as, it's the activity done for enjoyment when one is not working. Okay? So make sure you have some time to do something you enjoy that you don't do when you're normally working. Whatever it is. See, playing is up there with praying, so long as God is the focus. You know, it's God. You know, we can really enjoy life with God. See, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy, isn't it? And so to take time out to enjoy life, to enjoy the blessings He's given us, that it's so important. It's a way of being grateful for what God has given us, is to enjoy what He's given us, isn't it? You know, we can. When you think about the fact that it was God who gave us waves so that we can surf, or if you're like me, you're like, I like to body surf, you know, I can't, you know, I haven't got a surfboard, so yeah, I can surf anywhere, I don't need to take anything, just turn up. You know, He gives us beaches that we can lie on, you know, nice bits of grass we can play golf on, sunsets to go wow over, and it just makes sense that, you know, He wants us to enjoy His creation. See, God is into our resting as He is into our working. And He's like, you know, the shepherd David talks about who leads him beside the still waters and restores his soul. He is such a God of redemption. Who needs their soul restored? I know I do. Continually. I always need that refreshing that only God can give me. See, God is able to put things right and work things out. One of His things. He's so good at that. Because He is the Lord of all creation. And He's the Creator who works beauty into everything He does. So even just to take time to appreciate the beauty is a great thing to do. Because that's our God. You know, and we are His people. And I know as a church we enter 2015 with a renewed sense of purpose and confidence that He who has begun the good work in us will continue it throughout this year. It's the same God that we had last year, and He's going to continue working in us this year. So that's exciting. And I believe that we will see a year of continued growth as a church as we explore creative ways of expressing our love for our God and connecting with our community in equally creative and meaningful ways. See, growing is one of our core values as a church. And I believe that it's fundamentally linked to all the other core values of grace, creativity, reaching, being authentic and empowering, and of course, loving. Because I also believe that it's love that grows people. And when it's God's love for His people, that kind of love grows His church. And so we're looking forward to a year of growth. You know, we could have the slickest services in the world and still not have a genuine growth. You know, we could have great times in the presence of God, but still not grow any closer to God or the people in our community if we don't have love. It's like the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that you can have all these amazing gifts and expressions of the Spirit, but if we don't have love, we've missed the point. See, love comes from the heart. And it's one of the most powerful motivators we could ever have in life. And love is more than words. And when you think about it, it's who and what we love that determines our priorities in this life. So it's important. You know, that when we choose to love God and believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, it really does change our world. I know it's changed mine, and it continues to change my world. Just the fact that God is my number one priority in life because I love Him. And everything else that flows out of that has completely revamped my life in amazing ways. You know, I think all of heaven gets excited when things come into line with God's plan. It's really incredible to think that here we are in Waiuku, 2015, and we are the example to the world of God's power. His power to redeem, to recreate, to reconcile, to regenerate, to redefine, and to restore. I could keep going on. RE, you name it. I think RE is the God suffix, isn't it? Either way, everything that God does, He re-does something, doesn't He? I think that is what the Holy Spirit does in us when He's in control of our life. His nature is regenerative from the inside out. You know, the fruit of following the Holy Spirit, or as the Apostle Paul puts it, being led by the Spirit, becomes evident in our lives that you can actually see the redemption happening to us. People looking in on it get a better view. They see you've changed. Often we aren't even aware of it because it's happening to us. Day by day, little bit by little bit. But that's the redemptive, regenerative nature of the Holy Spirit. You see, our own sinful nature is degenerative. Our natural tendency is to degeneration. You know, things get worse, not better, unless we exercise discipline, unless we do something about it. Well, that's what it seems to be like in my life anyway. You know, a month or so ago, I got a little bit sick, got a bit of chest infection, cough sort of thing, and I kind of stopped exercising, as you do. And you would not believe how hard it is to suddenly rebuild the habit of exercise. Things just, you know, you let them slip for a little bit, eh? And then you're like, oh, it's like a mountain you've got to try and climb back up. It's amazing how quickly things can degenerate. And while physically, you know, we are wasting away, the work of the Holy Spirit is to constantly regenerate us spiritually. You know, our inward man is just, he gets stronger as our bodies get weaker. That's the amazing thing about life in the Spirit. We don't fade away. But like any kind of recreation, we need to allow time for spiritual recreation as well. You know, like fulfilling our call, stepping out in faith, resting in God, waiting on Him. Or like I said before, just enjoying His creation. It's a great spiritual recreation for us. It restores our soul. But if we ignore the Holy Spirit and we go our own way, we take a holiday from God, then our spiritual life will start to decline. So it's important just to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Because in order to grow into maturity, it takes persistence with God. In other words, like purposeful, perseverance, patience. All those P words. I know today's lesson's been brought to you by the letter R and the P. But it doesn't have to be complicated. It just takes practice. See, practicing being grateful for what God has given us. I love that song, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." We have got so much that we can bless God for. Bless His name we live in such a beautiful country. Bless His name that we have each other. Bless His name that the sun is shining. Even bless Him for that cool breeze on a warm, hot day. You see a beautiful sunset? Praise God for it. Give Him the glory. See, God has a plan. And it's for a new creation. It's a new heaven and a new earth. And the amazing thing is that the church has a role to play in His plan. Right here in Waiuku, we have a part to play in God's plans. You know, Jesus works through his church, and collectively, you know, we are part of the church, the bigger church, but also church here in Waiuku. And you know, it wouldn't be the same without you here. It wouldn't. You guys make the difference. And the Apostle Paul touches on the role of the church in his letter to the Ephesians. So if you've got the Bible, I don't have a PowerPoint. Maybe you guys down the back could find Ephesians 3, 7 to 11. Paul's talking about God's plan of salvation being for everyone, even the Gentiles. And the mystery that was there all along suddenly became apparent in Jesus Christ. And Paul's trying to explain this to the church in Ephesus. He says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. It's always a gift to be able to serve God, isn't it? Something you should never take for granted. And Paul says, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Everybody just say, make plain to everyone. Isn't that awesome? It's quite simple, really. And in verse 10 he says, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. See, our eternal purpose is found in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? And if you don't have it, that relationship with Jesus Christ, you need it. And it's free to everyone. All you got to do is have faith and trust him. But it's God's manifold wisdom, which is, if you don't know what manifold means, the mechanics might know, a manifold is where lots of little things come into one big thing. It's varied and many, the multitude gathered into one. So it's the diverse and varied wisdom of God that is made known to the rulers and authorities of the spiritual side of life. You know, the angels, the demons, the forces of light, the forces of darkness is made known through the church. It's a lot to get your head around. I know. But the basis of it is that God uses the change in us to reveal his glory to the heavenly powers. You know, he has done something so unique in the church that we won't see anywhere else in his creation. It's his ability to bring conflicting peoples together into one place in unity. In the early church, it was the Gentiles and the Jews. The ability to reconcile, to redeem, to restore is what he demonstrates through his church, through us. Because it's what the church is all about. You know, everything coming together under Christ. See, it's not about my ministry or your ministry, but it's his ministry through us that really matters. So we are just a bunch of people from different backgrounds. I don't know about, you know, different parts of the world. Gathered together in his name to do his will, but to do it with joy and passion that you're not going to find anywhere else in society. So gathered together with a genuine love. Such a love for each other that can only be described as family. You know, this year, I believe we're going to continue to take a stand in this community. To be the church where God's manifold wisdom is displayed. Because there's more than just the world watching. Heaven looks on. So what does God's manifold wisdom look like for us in 2015? Well, I guess basically it's just us together in unity, living and loving in the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. And it means dying enough to ourselves in order to allow the Holy Spirit to be able to reign with sovereignty over our decisions, over the choices we make. See, when he's Lord of our lives, the impossible suddenly becomes possible. The ordinary stuff we do suddenly gains a supernatural perspective we find the freedom to be us. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." We sang about that this morning. See, the Holy Spirit is God. And His power is manifest in us through willing obedience. Now, are we willing to allow Him to be Lord of our lives this year? John Bevere, in his book, The Holy Spirit, goes on to paraphrase this verse. And he puts it like this. He says, "Where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom." Do you get the difference? Where God reigns in our lives, we have freedom. And if there are parts of our lives where God has restricted access, then we won't have freedom in that place. See, John Bevere makes his point that God is, He's able to be omnipresent. You know, He can be everywhere, all the time, anytime. But do we see freedom everywhere? Do we see freedom in the prisons, in the brothels, in the schools? Do we see freedom in our community, in our nation? There are a lot of places in this world where Jesus is not Lord yet. And as a church, we're here for a reason. We are freedom fighters, bringing God's reign, and with it, the freedom that comes with it. Helping people break free. You know, as we were worshipping before, just had this wonderful picture of an army all linked together. You know, like how the Romans used to all line up and they'd have all these shields all lined up. But an army sort of marching together. And each step, they were stepping on chains that were breaking. And just keep moving forward. And there's just this sense of unstoppableness of an army advancing. It wasn't a rush, it was just step by step. Just pushing forward. And now we are the people God has sent to this world to go in His name, to go up to the prince of this world, to Satan, and to to tell him that God wants him to let His people go. We need to go in Jesus' name, and declare the freedom. That's the wonderful news of the gospel. You know, that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins so that we could be free to become the kind of people God originally intended. See, that Jesus, you know, He died and rose on the third day. The firstborn of the new creation is a testimony to us that God's plan to redeem all creation is not just on its way, but it's happening, and we get to be a part of it. That's right, Matthew. He took our sins so we could be free. See, the Holy Spirit is our guarantee of this promise. The new creation is here. See, God doesn't want His creation just to waste away and be forever ruined for what He wanted it to be. See, His plan is redemption. Redemption through love and through grace. And knowing what the cross stands for, now that I know what the cross stands for and what it means to us, I can never say that God does not love me. And I can never say that God does not love everyone else either. It's a powerful illustration that no one could ever say that God doesn't love you. Ever. And because of the cross, we are a new creation. And in the new creation that God is bringing about, Jesus is Lord all the time. That's the whole point of the new heaven and new earth, isn't it? To reestablish His reign and authority over everything. And you see, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." Paul doesn't say, you know, the new creation is still coming. You know, just wait, you guys, you know. You're in Christ now, but something good's coming. We know something good is coming, but it's come. The new is here. The new creation is already here for anyone who has their faith in Jesus and accepts Him as King, as the new boss, the Lord. The new creation is here and it's inside of you right now. Obviously, it's not physical yet, so much. But it will happen when Christ returns or we die. But it's real. It is spiritual. We feel Christ alive in us. Doesn't your spirit stir in the presence? I guess the challenge for us is living in such a way that the new creation that is inside of us is going to be seen on the outside, no matter how degenerated we look on the outside. You know, being led by the Spirit is not always easy. It can seem like risky business. You know, the question, you know, did I hear right? You know, how do I know that it's really the Lord speaking? They're all valid questions when we're being led by God. But sometimes you just got to take a step of faith and trust Him. And you kind of find out as you go. He doesn't wait for us to be perfect. You know, God wants what is best for us in order to grow us. You know, just like a dad who wants his kids to grow up well, He doesn't just give us what makes us happy, but what we need to go to the next level, to mature. See, realizing the new creation in our lives is challenging because it's different. And it involves growth. And growth leads to change. And change, well, apparently most of us are afraid of change. Whether we admit it or not, there's a subconscious fear of change. And God knows this. And whenever God has sent His people into the great unknown to do something great for His name, He simply always says this. He says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for I will be with you." If you Google those words and you look them up, how many times they appear in the Bible, there's 86 times He says that to different people. You know, you think of Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, David, Nehemiah, Zechariah, Jeremiah, Isaiah. There's quite a big list, actually, that God actually said, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for I will be with you." You kind of get the idea that where God is calling us to, into this new creation, His kingdom, it's going to take courage. But it also takes an awareness that He's with us. We always need to keep our eyes on Jesus because we find such a strength that He's there. Because when we have the Holy Spirit within us, you know, things change because we do have God with us. He's our Emmanuel. In Acts 4, there's this awesome account of what happened to the disciples after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. See, Peter and John, the disciples, they heal this lame man on the way to the temple. And everyone's really excited because this guy's been lame for like 40 years. And they can't believe it's happened. And the rulers of the synagogue get really upset because they've healed him in Jesus' name. And they thought that Jesus is, you know, they dealt with him already. And now these guys were claiming that Christ has healed this person. And so they drag him before these guys before the synagogue and they have a word to them. But they're sort of in a hard place because all the people are really excited that this guy's got healed by Jesus Christ. And all the people are excited, and the synagogue rulers are afraid of the people if they do something to these guys. So they can't, you know, beat them and crucify them. So they tell them not to do that again, and they send them home. But it's amazing, it says in the Bible, they were amazed at their courage. And so they sent them home. And Peter and John, well, the first thing they do is they go back to church. And they all gather around, and then the church does what the church does, they pray. And as they prayed this. In Acts 4, 29 to 31, they're praying and they say, "Now Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You know, it's through the church that the manifold wisdom of God is made known to our enemies. See, God didn't need to say to these disciples, you know, be bold and courageous. They just were. In fact, they were the ones asking God for the opportunity to be bold. It's not enough that there's a challenge in the world, they're just asking for more of it. Bring it on, God. Enable us to be more bold. See, with that, the Spirit, Holy Spirit is indeed Lord. We see that a courage and a boldness to speak out against injustice. You know, the fear of what people think is just, you know, when we step out, it's going to go. You know, there's a boldness to step out in faith and bless someone. To not be afraid of change. To trust God with the result. See, the manifold wisdom of God is that it's not all about us. You know, I've said yes to doing things that I remembered at the time, thinking to myself that there's no way I'd want to do that. Why would I say yes? That's for someone else. Someone else who's so much better at doing that. They should be, yeah, that's something I could think of, a great person who'd be good for that. And but it's amazing that by the time that I've been asked, I've already had this kind of discussion with God and come to the conclusion that if it's God's will for me, then who am I to say no? Funny how, you know, when you have a little prompting from the Holy Spirit that you sort of get used to the fact that, you know, they're going to ask you to do this. Are they? That's not going to happen. And then they ask you, like, oh, God, all right then. It's a confirmation of what God was already saying to me in my heart. And, you know, I remember thinking when I took on Chaplaincy New Zealand that, you know, I know it's going to be a stretch. I know that there's going to be a little bit of uncomfortableness going somewhere in a completely new foreign sort of environment and everything that goes with that. And there's, you know, there's going to be a bit extra work and all that. But I also knew that if he had called me, then he would also be with me. And that I do not need to be afraid or discouraged. And I keep reminding myself of that. Funny how we have to do that, isn't it? But yeah, God is with me. I know that for us as a church, this year is going to hold some great opportunities for us to be bold, you know, to move forward toward the vision of establishing this community of life that is Cornerstone Christian Church. You know, as a church, we have a dream of having a place where we can worship and gather together in the presence of God. Beyond Sunday as well. You know, we achieve that kind of. But God has something bigger. And you know, a place that is open to the community to be a storehouse of God's provision. So it's a dream that we are going to continue to trust God with. We're going to continue to pursue that with Him, knowing that He is with us. You know, we are part of our wider community. And because we have the same Holy Spirit that Peter and John were filled with, it's quite exciting when you think about it. You know, we too can pray for God to stretch out His hand and heal. We too can pray for the boldness to speak up. See, Jesus came into our world, and God chose to become a part of the world He created in order to redeem it. God's plan is to transform this fallen world into a world that truly reflects Him. That is what the new creation is all about. And I'm looking forward to seeing that unfold in this nation. We're going to take communion very shortly. Haven't asked anyone to hand out communion, but we'll ask the volunteers if you could just come and start handing out shortly. You know, just as there could be no resurrection life without the death and crucifixion, you know, we too cannot have a part in the new creation unless we die to ourselves and make Jesus Lord over us. See, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. So you all just like to just stand with me. Before we take communion, I thought it would be good to pray. It is a new year, a new day, full of God's grace and mercy, full of possibility and hope. So let's take a moment just to bow our heads, because you know the Holy Spirit is here in such a powerful way this morning. He is such a blessing to us. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, you know, this is the day to do it. God wants you to be a new creation. He wants you to be a part of what He's doing. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord, then just as an act of faith, putting your trust in Jesus Christ, trusting Him for the forgiveness of your sins, the hope of the resurrection. Just lift your hand to heaven. Something between you and Him. We're going to thank God together. But let's pray together. Lord, I want to thank You. Lord, I want to thank You for Your death on the cross. You paid the price for my sin. You set me free. And I am free indeed. Lord, I accept You as Lord of my life, that You will lead me from this day forward in Your mercy, Your grace, and Your love, that I will never look back, but I'll always look ahead to where You are leading us. Lord, You are wonderful, and I accept Your love completely. Surrender all my life to You, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's also a good time that, you know, talk about breaking chains and being free. Is anyone here anxious about anything in the new year? I'm just going to pray. Lord, Your word says we should be anxious for nothing. And Lord, today we declare that You are Lord. You are sovereign. You sit on the throne, Lord God. Whatever we're anxious about, God, we know that You have it in control. You already know what it is before we even run into it, Lord God, that You have a plan for us to get through it, get over it, get around it. Whatever it is, God, You are Lord. And we will not be afraid of this year. We will embrace it because, God, it is a gift from You. And we know that You are in it with us. Lord, that whatever worries us, troubles our souls, Lord God, that we're able to lay it down and find peace with You. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Amen. Amen. Amen.